everybody. It's my friends, my dangerous friends. Welcome to the Danger Hour, the most dangerous podcast this side of the old Mississippi, motherfucker. I'm your host, James Danger. And it appears we are on an audio voyage in search of fun and entertainment. And hopefully I deliver those two things, and I probably won't, but it's free, and go fuck yourself. All right, ladies and boys, and most importantly, lady boys, I started tonight's festivities by having my traditional pre-show shot. But James, what you have for a shot tonight? I'll tell you, I had some whiskey. But James, what kind of whiskey did you have? Did you have some Irish whiskey? No, I did not. Did you have some American whiskey? I sure did. Was it Jack Daniels? No, it wasn't. It wasn't a name brand. Unless the brand you're talking about is Trader Joe's. But James, isn't that cheap? I will tell you what, sir. It is not cheap. Well, it is cheap, but in the sense that it's not lacking quality. I gotta tell you, this fucking whiskey is pretty damn smooth. Trader Joe's. Kentucky Bourbon. Kentucky! Bourbon. Straight bourbon whiskey, it says. Look at that. It's not that, you know, I went to Trader Joe's. And I know what you're thinking.
James, that's a pretty high society store. It's for hipsters and whatnot.
Yeah, you're probably right. Hipsters and old white people, they go there. But apparently they got some good stuff that they make themselves. Sorry.
I'm not spoken right.
And I went to the liquor section because I was in the mood for some Jack. And for some reason, Jack has gone up in price recently, right? It's like $18.99 in the stores now when it used to be like $15, you know? Not a huge increase, but you know, in a way it is. And so next to the Jack was Trader Joe's, which is in a very attractive bottle, I got to tell you. And, it, you know, it catches your eye. It's like, it's kind of like old-timey looking. And it was like $15. I'm like, hey, look at this thing. I'm going to give it a shot. And I did, and it's fucking smooth as shit. Okay? So, if you ever are near a Trader Joe's, and you want some Jack, but you know, you want to save $3, go for the Trader Joe's
Kentucky
Bourbon. You'll appreciate it. I think you will. And so, that's what I'm doing. I'm having my Budweiser Black Crown. You know why? I know you're going to give me shit.
Why aren't you drinking something classier, James? Why are you going for a domestic, huh?
Okay, I gotta tell you something, all right? Okay, you fuck faces. There are times I go to the store, and, you know, there's a whole aisle of beer, and I'm just not feeling anything. Okay, I'm not feeling it, you know? Or it's too expensive. And then I look to my left at the domestic section. And they're smiling at me going, hey, James, why don't you come over here and get a real American classic?
How are you a classic? You just came out like last year.
Well, you know what I mean. I'm easy to drink. I'm high in alcohol content and I'm cheap as fuck. Hey, that sold me. You know, come on. Y'all can vouch for this. You know, some days you're hard up for money and you still want to drink. And come on. It's easy to drink. It's got 6% alcohol, and it's $10.99 for a 12-pack. How can you beat it? I'll tell you what, you can't. That's right. And so that's what I'm drinking, so don't judge me too harshly. Come on, be on my side.
Please.
All right, real quick, I want to introduce to you to a dude. He is a singer-songwriter, and you know, I put an ad out on Craigslist. And I got a lot of feedback from that ad. I got some people that wanted to come in. You know, the ad consisted of, hey, come in and, you know, do a podcast, play some songs, you know, talk about yourself. You know what? That's all it really takes. People like to talk about themselves. And I got some good hits. Today, I have in, and you're not going to believe this, boys and girls, this guy came all the way from Europe. He's European, and like I always say, European on my leg. Anyway, enough with that shit. This guy is named Simon Black. He is from England. And hey, Simon, welcome to the Danger Hour, and thank you for making the voyage over here.
No, thank you for having me. I appreciate it. Haven't been to the States before, but I'm very grateful that you're letting me stay here in your home for free.
Whoa, I never agreed to that, dude. I never said that you can stay here.
But where would I go?
Dude, I don't fucking know. I mean, you can't stay here, though.
I've got to tell you that makes me very, very sad. I think I'd like to write a song about it later.
All right, dude, you're bumming me out. I'm sorry. I'm sorry there was confusion. You can't stay here. You know, I apologize. But you know what? Let's work that out later. How about we talk about you, the music? And, you know, what's your story, man? What are you about?
Well, I'm, you know, like you said, I'm from England. I'm in a small town. I play my music to get my emotions out. And you know, I just kind of let my feelings out in the songs.
What kind of music do you play? I mean, based on how you're talking, I would imagine they're very depressing type songs.
Well, you know, I've had a lot of trouble in my life, and yes, my emotions do come through in my songs, mostly because you know, this. I had a girlfriend of 3 years. I thought we were gonna get married and have children, but she cheated on me with my brother.
Holy fuck! I'm sorry to hear that, man. It's rough that your girl cheats on you, but you know, even with your brother, that's a double fuck you.
Tell me about it. But I wrote some songs in my feelings of sorrow and feeling like I'm lost to the world and. Actually trying to, you know, not commit suicide because...
Whoa. Dude, you can't go that way, man. You gotta be strong because if you commit suicide, then she fucking won, you know?
Yeah, that's right. That's the way I see it. So I just kept writing. I kept writing songs and you know, I'd like to play one for you right now. And you know, this is kind of what sums it up. I was very angry at her and I just wanted to tell her something in a song. And just, this is my way of getting back at her, basically.
All right, Simon Black, I appreciate you again coming from England and telling your story. It seems like you've had a hard life, but I'm glad you didn't kill yourself and you're using your music to express your feelings and getting it out there once again. I'm sorry, guys. I think this is going to kind of be pretty depressing stuff, but, you know, hey. It can't all be happy tits, right? Here we go. Simon Black with, what song are you going to play?
It's called All Over You. All Over You. That's what it's called.
All right. Simon Black with All Over You. And here we go. Wow, I highly underestimated you, my friend. I apologize. I thought for sure you were going to be all fucking like doom and gloom and shit like that, but that was great.
Oh, thank you. I mean, like I said, I was coming from a pretty rough place. And,
Yeah. Okay. We get it. Listen, I'll tell you what. You can take my couch tonight, okay? You can sleep on the couch.
Oh, thank you.
All right, I think you've earned it. All right. Everybody, that was Simon Black once again from England, and I'm gonna go show him to his couch and grab another beer, and I'll be right back. right, ladies and boys, and like I said, lady boys, let's get to some content here instead of rambling. How about that? Let me go to my trusty phone for my notes, because I always forget what I want to talk about. Here we go. Let's see. What should we start with? What should we start with here? A lot of good stuff to cover this week. Oh, boy. Oh, James, you forgot to mention that it's show number 99. Oh, my God. I got 99 problems, but a bitch ain't one. But a show is one of my problems. 99th problem, to be exact. James, what do you think? I'm just fucking, I don't know. I'm just, you know, spewing nonsense. As usual, show number 99. Episode number 99. Wow. One away from the big 100.
But James, how are you going to celebrate show 100? Huh? You going to do something special?
No, not really.
You going to do like a clip show?
No clip shows. Clip shows are bullshit and they're cop-outs and fuck that. Okay? I'm about delivering high-class entertainment here. High quality. Now, to be honest, my episode 100 is gonna consist of Leto.
James, that's not very special.
I know. But you know, he's gotta be in episode 100. It's special. It is special. And he's a little special, if you know what I mean. And Super Dick will grace us with his presence. That's right, Super Dick. And a special guest that I'm not gonna tell you who it is right now. You gotta tune in to find out who it is. Not that special, but it's gonna be a nerdy type show, and it's gonna, you know, revolve around Superman. That's right. This is Thursday. What the fuck date is it today? June 13th. I'm doing a show today, and tomorrow we're doing another show after we watch the Superman movie coming out
with Henry Cavill. Oh,
and we're gonna talk about that. And so there you go. 100. That's how we're gonna go down. Oh, and episode 100 will reveal a very big secret in Danger history. Something that's never been revealed before. It happened after one of the shows. It's a big fucking deal, you know? As far as Danger goes, it's probably the most dangerous, you know, story the Danger Hour could contribute when it comes to real life fucking danger, okay? Real life danger. Big reveal. Episode 100. If that doesn't get you involved in wanting to hear the next one, I don't know what will. That's got to have you coming back for more, right? Okay. Yeah, let's start this show already. Here we go. My neighbor. Oh!
James, is it the Nazi neighbor?
It's not the Nazi neighbor. It's my Jap neighbor. And I know what you're all thinking.
What do you mean the Nazi neighbor? Is that a joke, man? What's that about?
No. If you do not know, if you're new to the show, I have a bona fide, real-life Nazi neighbor.
What do you mean he's a Nazi, like he fucking, like, you know, killed Jews?
No, he didn't. He wasn't all the way Nazi, like, that would have been cool, like a Jew killer.
Ah, the Jew killer! The Jew killer is among us!
No, it's not that kind of thing. Apparently, the short version. He took us to Alpine Village in Torrance to have some German sausages. Oh, his name's I'm not gonna tell you his name. That's a little too far. He took us to have some German, you know, German sausage and German meat. Yes, it's a German meat market over there. It's a little German community. And I drove him. He was in my vehicle, and on the drive home, it was an overcast, rainy day. And we had a good time. I like the guy. He's a good dude. You know?
James, you like a Nazi?
Well, let me explain myself. It turns out he was a Nazi. He was 15 years old and he lied about his age to join the, join the army. And apparently, he didn't kill anybody. He was mostly cover fire. Because he joined. Oh, I fucked up. I didn't say this part. He joined at the last 2 months of the war. Okay? So it was mostly like, retreat! 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 Cover your ass! Fire behind you! That kind of thing, right? So he's not sure if he killed anyone because all he was doing was shooting behind him. And, yeah. But he was a Nazi, you know? Technically, he was a Nazi. And he's my neighbor. So thus, in turn, he is dubbed the Nazi neighbor. You know, to close that story out, long story short. He was captured, held into a camp, and because he was so young, they freed him immediately, and he went back home. And that's all I have to say about that. No. And that's that. But it's not my Nazi neighbor I'm talking about tonight. It's my Jap neighbor.
But James, what's Jap neighbor?
Oh, come on. If you listen to this show, you know that I got a Jap neighbor, a Nazi neighbor, and a Chinese neighbor all surrounding me. And at times I think they're conspiring, you know? I think they are conspiring. But the Jap neighbor, you know, if you listen to the show, you know he's the guy that's always staring over at where I live. He's always staring over here. He'll always, his garage door will be open. He'll be sitting in a chair just staring towards where I live. It's pretty unsettling. And he's always walking around, and he creeps out Lido at times because Lido will come over to do the show. And when he leaves, the guy will be like exercising outside and like be walking around. Basically, the fucking long, long, long story short is the guy is always outside, always walking around, always like doing like that Japanese weird exercising things, you know? And he's sitting out there looking over here. He's always out there. But for like weeks now, he's nowhere to be found. Because he's out there so prevalently that, you know, when he's not there, it's like, hey, where's he at? And I found myself missing him. You know, I missed the neighbor. Where's he at? Why isn't he stalking me? Yeah. I wonder if stalkers, you know, are people that get stalked, if they have a stalker, if and the stalker stops coming around, it's like, oh, where'd he go? I miss him watching me. I just missed it. I miss his presence of being there. I like knowing that he's there. I guess I like hating that he's there. And when he's gone, it's like, hey, where'd he go? And so, you know, I have this thing going on with my wife saying, you know, he's dead. He died. And there's only two reasons why he should be dead. You know, actually two suspects. One, obviously the Nazi neighbor, right? Maybe they had some kind of argument about who should kill me. And the Jap's like, I will kill him good. And, you know, the Nazi neighbor's like, no, I will kill him. I kill him better than you can. And, you know, they duked it out and the Nazi neighbor murdered him. And then, you know, burn him in his oven, probably. That's like, you know, the most logical explanation. And the second one is maybe his wife killed him, because one day I saw his wife outside doing his garden duties, which he always does. And it's like, wait a second, she's never outside. Why is she out there doing the garden duties, you know? He's always the one out there, and she's always inside hiding. Because it's a well-known fact that Asians, the women, don't like to get their skin darkened by the sun because they resemble peasants working in the fields. And the you know, the lighter you are, the more royal you are, the higher class you are. That's why all the women wear those you know, those gloves in their arms and those fucking welder's masks when they're driving. That's right. Chalk that up to information. That's right. File that under I learned something, assholes. So she's out there working in the garden, and I'm suspicious, and I'm like, what's going on here? Did he die? Did she bury him in the garden? You know, and she's keeping up the fucking flowers and no one's the wiser. But I'm the wiser. I noticed. Anyways, my wife happened to talk to the Nazi neighbor today. Shocking discovery, boys and girls. The neighbor is in the hospital and has been there for weeks. That's right.
James, you're an asshole because you said that he's dead. And look, he very well might be. You know, after you're joking, maybe he is going to die and you're going to feel bad.
You know what? You're probably right. Maybe I'm, you know, joking and, you know, he's in the hospital and I do feel kind of bad about it. But apparently he's got cancer. God damn it. Look at me. I'm an asshole. Times 80 million because the guy is a cancer patient and I'm stabbing at his fucking, you know, his death. I do feel bad about that. I don't want the guy to die. I want to see him creeping me out still across from me, staring at where I live. Please, Japanese neighbor, if you can hear me, wherever you are, if you're in a you know, if you're in a hospital bed, and I can transfer my thoughts to you psychically, get well soon, come back home, and stare at me from your house. Okay? Thank you. Amen. Anyways. The funny thing about this dude is while my wife was talking to the Nazi neighbor, getting information, if you will, you know what? Maybe the Nazi neighbor's lying. Maybe he's telling my wife he's in the hospital, but he really fucking killed him. Yeah.
You're kidding.
You're getting too conspiracy theorist, James. I hear you. All right. You're right. Let me backtrack. The Nazi neighbor also informed my wife. My wife asked him how his son is doing, you know? He's got two sons. One of them apparently was a sushi chef and made a dish a wrong way and ate it and got a fucking, like a worm in his brain. And now he's like a retarded guy. I'm not fucking lying to you. He's in a wheelchair. And he's like, you know, all like, durr. Yeah. Look at that. And the other son is this fucking buff, like, you know, in shape, young dude, nice fucking guy. You know, when I see him, he's always waving at me. Hey, how you doing? Hey, nice to see you. That kind of thing. We never talked further than that, but he's always saying hi to me. Seems like a good dude. It turns out he's fucking dead. I'm shocked. There's two sons. One had a fucking brain worm, or whatever he had, and he's in a wheelchair and can't walk. You know? And the other guy is buff and in shape, and, you know, in his 30s, and he fucking died, apparently, a year or two ago, and I never knew. Now, I feel bad about this, but the reason I bring it up, people, is not to talk shit. It's to inform you. Because the guy you would think would be dead is the guy in the wheelchair. No, he's fine. He's alive and well. Well, not well, but you know what I'm saying. The other dude had diabetes, apparently. Even though he was in, you know, he was in good fucking shape. He slipped into a diabetic coma and never fucking recovered. That is a mind fuck, people. Okay, this guy, I'm telling you, I'm not exaggerating. He's a fucking buff dude. In his 30s. In good shape, seems to have a lot of energy, and he's dead. Okay? Now, I've got relatives. My grandfather is 81 years old. He has diabetes for like 30 years, okay? He's still kicking, still going strong. My father-in-law has diabetes, still fucking going strong in his 60s. This dude was 30-something, okay? Okay? Does that wake you up, motherfuckers? We gotta start, you know, being better. Eating better. God damn, dude. That's scary as shit. I really do feel bad because the guy was a cool dude. And I would see him and we were friendly and now he's fucking dead and I didn't know about it. But now I do. And it seems a goddamn shame. So, I know some of you out there, you know, you have your little health problems. Clean your act up quick. And I, you know, I'm not fucking some, you know, I'm not in a goddamn roof, hill up here above all of you talking down to you. I'm the same way. I got to clean up my act. I got to stop drinking. As much as I usually do. You know what? I actually got a thing sent to me today by my cousin Chuby. Chuby! There's a study done out of the UK. That says people that drink heavily are intelligent. They have, they're more intelligent than, how's that going? I think I fucked that up. People that are more intelligent drink more or some shit like that, okay? Don't come to this show for hard facts and fucking hard-hitting evidence, okay? I'm paraphrasing. But they did a study and they studied some children and they did a study where some children ranked, you know, high intelligence and some were very low intelligence, okay? And 10 years later, no, take it back, 20 years later, they studied these kids again, the same people, and it turns out the ones that were high intelligence drank way more than the ones that were lower intelligence. What does this mean? Inconclusive. They said, oh, we don't know the fucking reasons. But what does it matter? I mean, basically, if you if you're smart, you drink. So I will drink because I am smart. I don't fucking know. What is that? It doesn't mean shit, you know. Thanks, Chuby, for the effort, but I don't understand that still. Does that mean I'm smart because I drink a lot? Oh, I must be high intelligence, but I'm gonna die early from some kind of drinking related disease. So does that really make me smart or stupid? I don't fucking know. You be the judge. Speaking of dying, speaking of death, My wife and I just finished Game of Thrones season 2.
James, you're very far behind. It's already the end of season 3.
I fucking know. Like I told you, why do you judge me? I don't have cable, okay? I'm in the 2% of Americans that don't have cable, and I've been watching Game of Thrones on, what's that shit called? Google? No, not Google. What the fuck? Amazon? Yeah.
James, why don't you just download it from an illegal site?
God damn it. I want to watch it on my big TV. I just pay for it, okay? Like a good fucking consumer.
James, you can get it from your computer and show it on your TV somehow if you talk to
Enough. I'm too lazy and probably stupid to understand the technology, so I would just pay for it. My point is, watching Game of Thrones and this cunty fucking king they got,
King Joffrey.
And, you know, the season's over and I'm a little sad because it's a good show. I like it. But what I'm telling you is, throughout the season, since this guy's been king, he would just order people to be killed, right? And the people, you know, his guards or what the fuck, you like the knights? I don't know what you call them. His, whoever, the hired fucking goons, whatever. Like if he goes off with his head, they will not hesitate. They will fucking draw their swords and cut that dude's head off. Now, I was thinking about this. If I happened to be a king, all my family would be dead, okay? How many times have you been like hanging out with your kids, your wife, your parents, and they piss you off, right? If you were a king, imagine that. Imagine your wife starts some bullshit fucking argument and you're just like, you're not in the fucking mood. How soon after you're dubbed king would your wife be, her head will be chopped off because it's like,
hey, did you pick up the meat for tonight for dinner?
Oh, I forgot.
I told you to pick up the meat. How come you forgot? I told you. What are we going to eat?
Off with her head! I'm telling you. My wife would be killed immediately if I was king. And then my fucking kids, no different. Okay? Your kid would get the apple juice out of the fridge. And Mike, you know, she's 6 years old. She tries to be so fucking independent.
I can pour it myself.
The second she drops the bottle of apple juice and it spills all over the fucking counter.
Off with her head immediately.
You're like instant fit of rage. You know, you would order this dude to kill your kid and then her head would be off. And it's like, oh, fuck. All I'm saying is I'd be a lonely king. All my kids and my family would be out there. I'd be dead. My friends, for some reason, my friends, I would have more, I'd have more patience with my friends. Why? Isn't that weird that your family, like your wife and your kids and your parents, like you just have no fucking, your brothers and sisters, you got no patience for them. You know what I mean? Like you can be the real you among them where you're like the biggest cunty motherfucker, you know, ever. For some reason, you let yourself be you. No, I'll take it back. You let yourself be the worst you around your family, right? Especially your immediate family. But among your friends, you know, you're more, you're more hesitant to reveal your inner bitch. So my friends would all be, most of them would be alive, and all my family would be dead if I was a king. That's a damn shame. I'm just, you know, how do they resist the urge to have everyone executed? Yeah. I wouldn't be good as a king. I'd be good as like an advisor. Like, my lord, you probably should not kill your wife.
Because she will bear more children. And then, you know what? Fuck it. They can, you can get more whores to bear more children.
I would say, kill your wife then, sir. At once.
But do not kill your son because he is next in line for the throne.
Yeah. That's better advice. Oh boy, where the fuck am I going next with this bullshit, huh? What else we got here? Let's see. Oh boy. I got a story to tell you. I got a story. I got two stories. The first one is a tragedy. The other one's a comedy. which are also kind of the same at times, right, James? Oh, fuck yourself. Don't be all fucking high society. All right. The first one is a tragedy, and I got to tell you guys, I've had a good, clean driving record for 6-7 years now. No blemishes whatsoever, and I've been happy. But tragedy has struck, boys and girls. On the way to work last week, I might have been running a little later than I want to be, you know? Driving down the street, and, you know, it's early. I start work at 7 o'clock in the morning. At this time, it's about 6:30. I should be a little farther along in my route than I am at this point. And so when I'm driving down the street and approaching a railroad crossing, when the lights decide to go bing, 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 you know, they're flashing red. You know what I'm talking about? And I'm a distance away, but not far enough to go through if I slammed on the gas pedal. So I hesitated, like, fuck, do I stop? Do I go? You know? And it wasn't the point of no return, okay? I had plenty of time to stop. But it's like, dude, it might be a Metrolink, which are fast as shit. Or it might be one of those cargo trains that could possibly be a mile long and could possibly be going 10 miles an hour. And it's like, all right, I started my new position at work, and I can't be fucking around, dude. I'm on probation for work. Probation as in, you know, I'm new to my new position, and I can't be fucking up. So I made an executive decision, and I pressed on my fucking gas, and I went for it. Now, as I'm flying, not that fast, but I'm approaching. Oh, there's a spider on my keyboard. Time out. I successfully murdered the spider. God, what a bitch, huh? What a little bitch. Oh, there's a spider on my keyboard. All right, anyway. I'm coming towards the railroad crossing, and the things are fucking blinking. Now, right when I'm 10 feet, 15, I was going fast, 20 feet before the tracks, the arms start coming down. And I was like, ah, oh, God damn it. I was hoping that wouldn't happen, right? I was hoping I'd get through before the arms start moving. Now, as you would fucking imagine, as the arms are coming down, I blow through the fucking over the tracks like goddamn Dukes of Hazzard. My car flies off the fucking hill. I'm airborne. Not really. But I breeze through the fucking goddamn arms. And there happens to be a cop coming in the opposite direction. And he sees the whole fucking thing. And it's like, oh, fuck! And I don't even bother, dude, to even try to convince myself that I can possibly get out of this, you know? And there's no fucking delusions here. I just immediately pull over, you know? Before he could even turn around, I'm like, fuck it. I pull to the right, and I just stop. And of course, he spins around real quick, and, you know, no need for it, because I'm already fucking waiting. He comes up, comes out, you know, walks up to the car. I got my windows down. I got my car off. I got my hands in plain sight. I know the fucking deal, okay? These cops get nervous. And, you know, I'm trying to be hip, have my window down so my car seats can be seen. Because that's helped me before get out of a ticket. The dude comes up, and I'm like, and he looks at me, and he's got this look on his face like, what the fuck, dude? And I just tell him, I know. I was like, I know. It was dumb. I'm running late for work, and you know, I'm on probation, so I can't be late. And he goes, where do you work? Or no, he goes, what time do you start? I go, 7 o'clock. Where do you work? And I tell him the city, which I will not tell you now. And he goes, all right. Well, can I see your license and registration, please? I have to give you a ticket because that was just, you know, that was just ridiculous. But I'll be quick about it so you won't be late. So I give him my fucking information. He walks away. And I'm like, God damn it. I thought for sure he would see me with my car seats in the back I got my uniform on. You know, I'm a hardworking dude, blue-collared, fucking stiff. I thought for sure the guy would come up and go, hey, you know what? That was dumb, but hey, here's your warning. But no. Guy comes back, hands me my fucking ticket, and, you know, sends me on my way. All I gotta say is, like the last show, hey, fuck the police! No, you know what? Honestly, the dude was nice as fuck. You know, he could have been a dickhead, but he was super nice. But I got fucking popped, boys and girls. But you know what? I think I'm going to contest it because I don't think that's in a. I don't think it's correctable. I don't think there's. I don't think you can take traffic school for this shit. So what do I got to lose, right? I'm gonna fight that shit and hopefully, you know, put it off, and hopefully he doesn't show up in court and I win. That's my plan. But here's my thought, okay? I got a plan. My other plan, actually. That's plan B. Plan A, and I don't know if anyone's ever tried this before, okay? I'm not sure if anyone ever has. And you tell me if I'm a fucking retard or if I'm a genius. Now, the cop's name is on my ticket, okay? My plan is to call, you know, call the, what do you call that shit? The fucking police station.
It's not hard, James.
I know. Call the police station. Ask for, I don't know. Let's call him fucking Mr. Smith.
This is the sheriff's station. How can I help you?
Yes, I'd like to know if Officer Smith is here today.
Why, yes, he is. What is his regards to?
Oh, you know, I'm just wondering, you know, what time he gets off.
Well, I'm not really supposed to give all that information, but I'll tell you he gets off at 5 o'clock.
Okay, great.
What is it in regards to?
Just hang up. Now, I know they won't give that information out, but, you know, this is my little fantasy. Anyway, so at 5 o'clock, I happen to be in front of the police station when Officer Smith is leaving. And I go, hey, Officer Smith.
Yes?
And while he's walking to his car.
Can I help you?
It's like, yeah, you know what? Can I buy you a cup of coffee? I got a question for you. A couple questions. I'd like to talk to you for a minute. You know? As men. And of course, being a man of honor, he would be like,
absolutely. There's a Starbucks around the corner. I'll meet you there.
So we'd go to the Starbucks. I'd get him a coffee. I'd buy it for him, you know, like a classy dude. And we'd sit down and I'd say, listen, Officer Smith, I gotta level with you here. You give me a ticket last week, okay? You remember the train track thing?
Oh, that was you fucking retard.
Yeah, that was me. I'm sorry. Now listen, I'm a good dude. Straight up guy. And like I told you that morning, I don't know if you remember, I'm on probation for work. I can't have anything against me. I would greatly appreciate it. And I'm a family man. You know, I got two kids. I'm a good dude. You know, I can't afford this shit. I'm trying to get myself out of a hole. You know, as you would probably imagine. I'm a young guy, young kids. I'm starting out. I'm trying to, you know, just trying to get by. Officer Smith, will you please not show up in court? You know, and let me win this fighting my ticket. What the fuck you call that? I don't know. And of course, as a gentleman and a man of honor, he would say, you know, I see what you're talking about. I have a kid or two. I'm married and I'm a good guy. And I'm not going to show up to court because, you know, you seem like a good dude. You bought me some coffee and I appreciate you, you know. This is a very honorable. You're a man of honor.
Have I said honor enough this podcast?
And I'll let you go. But don't do it again. Thank you, Officer Smith. That's all I asked for. I'm glad that, you know, we can sit down as men and resolve this issue in a respectable, polite manner. Have a good day, sir. And you know what? Would you like to be on my podcast? All right. That was my plan. Do you think it would work? Do you think it would possibly work at all? Maybe not calling the station and, you know, trying to see when he gets off, but somehow fucking crossing paths with this guy on purpose and, you know, just talking to him like a fucking dude. Hey, man, you know, cut me a break, you know? Sitting down with the guy, buying him a coffee, if you would even agree to that. Do you think that would possibly work? Has it ever been attempted? I don't know. I'm curious. Has it happened to you? Tell me about it. Tell me your story and I will relay it on the show. You can do that at
facebook.com/thedangerhour.
That's right. You can send me a message or And you can like the page while you're at it. Or you can get my email. That's thedangerhour@yahoo.com. Look at that. Thedangerhour@yahoo.com. Also on the Instagrams, @thedangerhour. And Twitter, the same deal. The Danger Hour. Look at that. Contact me. There's no reason why you can't. There's four fucking ways you can contact me. And there you go. All right. Let's move on. My next story happened last night. And it involves a cunt and shit. No. So yesterday, I come home from work. And yesterday I was tired as fuck, okay? I haven't gotten much sleep during the week, so yesterday really hit me. And I go, you know, I sit on the couch, I watch, a family movie with my kids and my wife. And once it's over, it's not even over. I fall asleep during the middle of it. And I wake up like 3 hours later on the couch. I was like, oh man, by this time it's like 10:30. And I am fucking still exhausted. I go to the bathroom, take a piss. I'm like, I'm going to bed. I take a piss, and while I'm pissing, I notice there's no toilet paper on the roll. And being a good father, I was like, if my kids wake up in the middle of the night to go, you know, maybe take a shit, you know, or maybe my little girl goes to pee, the toilet paper is gone, and I'll put a new roll on that fucking thing for her. Okay? So I go to the area, we have the toilet paper, and there's no fucking rolls left. Ah! You know? We're fucking out. The whole house is out! So I tell my wife, I was like, hey, I'm tired. Do you think you can run to the store real quick? Because she's up watching TV, watching a Netflix. Do you think you can go to the store real quick and get a fucking, you know, get a pay? You're the husband. Why don't you go out? It's late. You want to send your wife to the store? I'm like, all right, fuck it. Fuck it. I'll go. Okay? I will go. I get dressed. I go in the car, once I'm in the bathroom, when I was taking a piss, I realize my eyes are bloodshot fucking red. I'm so tired. I drag my ass to the store. I walk in like a fucking zombie. I get the toilet paper, and I'm like, oh, man. Yeah, I know what you're thinking. Don't tell me, James, that you are the guy that had to get other stuff so you didn't just get toilet paper and be embarrassed. Yeah, yeah. You can't be a real man and just go for what you need. Oh, fuck you. Yeah, I got the toilet paper and I'm like, ah, man, I can't go up to the register with just one fucking thing and it's only toilet paper. That's so bizarre. So what other thing do I get? I don't need anything, really. What one thing could I get that can balance out this equation and make me a fucking man? And you know what that was? Fucking beer. Yeah. Beer. The very beer I'm drinking tonight. I was like, fuck it, I'm going to the beer section. I see the Black Crown on sale. It's like, that'll do. I grab the Black Crown. My plan is to be manly, throw my fucking beer on top of the goddamn conveyor belt, slam! Then my little, my gay package of toilet paper, flitter, flitter, flatter. And no one will judge me. So, there's a line in my, 15 items or less line, which is the only one open at the time. And so I'm standing in line and I'm dazing off, dude. I'm just like a zombie, like I said. I look over and there's a clearance section right by the register. And it's got like packages of 5-hour energy drink. I'm like, hey, look at this. I look at the box, it's 50% off. And I'm just fucking zoning out reading the package. And I'm like, I just completely left my fucking body, left the world at that moment. I'm in a completely different dimension, okay? I'm reading the packet. I'm just like dazing. I'm like, hey, this is probably a good deal. There's four bottles for like $5. Well, I can use this in the future when I'm really tired. I hear, sir, can I help you over here? And I hear those words, but I'm still fucking dazed out. I'm like, I wonder if I should get this package of 5-hour energy drink. And, sir, excuse me. And I turn around. And you know when those people open up a new lane, and if you're the next person in line, they take you first. Like, oh, over here, sir, you can be the first one in line. That's what's happening. So I turn around, and this broad is like trying to get my attention, and there's like, you know, five people behind me, and they're all like looking at me like, what's this guy's fucking problem? And I'm like, huh? Sir, is this your stuff? And she points at the toilet paper. I'm like, fuck! Yeah? And she's like, I can help you over here. And I was like, oh, okay, great. And she grabs the toilet paper and the beer herself, dude. How embarrassing, right? How demasculating. She grabs it for me and walks over to her aisle and puts them on her conveyor belt. And, you know, there's people looking at me because I'm like, you know, I'm all fucking out of it. My eyes are all bloodshot. Like, this guy's a fucking weirdo. So I walk over to the register and she's like one of these smart ass fucking broads. Okay. I've seen her before like a couple times. She's got a smart ass fucking mouth. And so she tells me in front of these other people, when she puts when she comes around to scan the items, she comes around and like, you know, people can hear her. She goes, oh, I see you've come for the important things in life. And I was like, but I was like, what a fucking bitch, dude, to call me out on that, you know? What a fucking bitch. At the same time, I'm thinking, that's funny. But the bitch feeling in my head overturned the other, you know, the other thought. And I was like, God, what a cunt. And, oh man. So I took the walk of shame after that with my toilet paper and my beer. And it felt like everyone's eyes were on me. But yeah, I mean, I know you've all seen it too. These cashiers that they're fucking with their smart ass remarks, you know? Oh, let me make a wisecrack because I'm so fucking funny. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Cunts. All of them. Anyway. Yeah, we should probably close this fucking show out already, huh? It's been long enough. Let's go ahead and end it with I fancy that.
It's beautiful.
Beautiful.
It's wonderful.
Wonderful.
It's I fancy that.
Fancy.
All right. I fancy. You know what I fancy? This is kind of a weak one. I'm sorry.
It's weak this week.
I fancy catching someone singing in their car. Is there no better sight than some like person really fucking into it? And then you see them. You know what? It's even better is when they see you sing them. You know, like, oh, fuck, I'm busted. I've seen people like totally rocking out in their car, you know, going crazy. Some people don't even give a fuck. They'll keep going with it. They have no fucking care in the world that you're next to them, you know, in traffic at a light. They're just going all the way. And I think it's funny as shit. I really think it's funny that when you catch the people that are singing and they get real embarrassed when you see them and they stop right away. That's the best. And you know what? I've been that dude. You know, occasionally I like to sing in the car. I won't do it when I know there's people around. If it's at night, oh, dude, it's on. I'm screaming from the rooftops. And, you know, and there are times during the day I'll be singing, you know, in the car. And if a car comes by and it catches me, like, you know, surprisingly, I act like I'm yawning. Try to play it off. But, you know, I've been busted. And I do. I'm that guy that gets embarrassed. I do. I'm a little bitch. Like a bitch. I get embarrassed. I don't want people to look at me singing. I could never be a fucking singer on stage. There's no way. I probably think I even look weird at times, like, you know, getting certain notes, you know, or like when you really scream, like you must look funny. I think I look funny. Some singers look great, but I think I would look fucking weird making like John Mayer faces. You bet he's winning. He's making those weird fucking faces. Like he's coming at times. Yeah, I'd be subconscious as fuck about that. But girls love that dude. I would just turn him off. They would see my weird faces like, this guy's just weird. Yeah. What I fancy is catching people singing in their cars. I fancy that. All right. And now it's time to close out the show, boys and girls, with the almighty. I don't know, dude. The darker side of life. It's time for the fuck you moment. And here we go.
Fuck you!
Oh! Nice. Here's my fuck you moment. And you know what? It ties into what I was talking about earlier, replacing the toilet paper roll for my kids. All right. I want to say fuck you to these toilet paper companies, okay? When they get it wrong. When they have the glue on the paper to keep the roll together, Sometimes they way overdo it. I don't know what's going on with it. Sometimes it rips off real easy. Sometimes it's a big fucking mess and you gotta like tear like how many sheets off and, you know, go through a whole revolution about four times to make it right. Sometimes the glue is like way too heavy. What are the fuck they use? I don't even know if it's glue. Where it's all stuck together, you know? You know what I'm talking about. And you rip off that first piece so you can start the roll. But no, it's like half of it rips off and you gotta go a whole revolution and it rips off again, whole revolution. And you gotta keep fucking, you waste a whole ass wipe full of paper. Maybe even two sometimes. Two whole ass wipes. Okay? You know what I'm talking about. It's really frustrating. Sometimes it just rips and rips. And yeah. I get the Scott 1,000 fucking sheets per roll.
James, that's too hard on your ass.
Ah, I said hard on. I got a drink. Fucking A. Cheers. I don't like that extra soft, you know, double bullshit. I don't like it. Okay? I like that skinny shit to get right up inside your asshole. Gets all the shit out. You can really dig in there. Yeah, I like that one. But well, my fuck you is, you know, they get it wrong, okay? It's 2013, assholes. Get it right. Or is it on purpose to waste more paper? I don't fucking know. But it just bothers me. There's that times every once in a while you get that. You know, it's quite often, actually. Nowadays, I think it's quite often. I get a fresh roll out. Because, okay, be honest. If I just put it out, and not really give a fuck about, you know, tearing the glue off. My kids would be in there, like, you know, especially my little boy. And he would just start ripping and he'll make a big fucking mess. So I am burdened with this, okay? I am responsible, okay? Thank you, Scott, for making me responsible, okay? It's a project to get the goddamn toilet paper to, you know, a fresh roll to get it working, okay? Hey, Scott! How about you don't make me waste, you know, 40 of those 1,000 sheets? I'm trying to get the fucking roll right. How about you just give a little tiny bit of glue, okay? It's toilet paper, and it's not going to come unraveled. Huh? Help me out, Scott, you fuck. All right. I'm sorry. Why does something like this get me worked up so much? I don't know. I just don't know. But I want to say, Scott, fuck you. I'm sorry, not just Scott. It's not Scott. I want to say, hey, toilet paper companies, get your goddamn, your adhesive right, okay? Get it right. I'm tired of it. And, fuck you.
Fuck you!
Oh, boy, that's the end, boys and girls. Oh, shit. I still got like 6 minutes to kill. I can't give you the danger hour and not make it an hour. That's just not fair. What can I do for 6 minutes to kill time? Oh, I know. I got it.
It's not going to involve you singing, isn't it, James?
Yes, I'm going to sing you a song. Look at this guy. What a good dude. Okay, so you know how I like saying this thing, right? I'll give the extended version to kill more time. I like this quote, and I like I like just randomly saying it. And I got my kid, actually, my kid and my daughter, I got her saying it too. So you know what this is, right? A long time ago, I was in Burma. My friends and I were working for the local government. They were trying to buy the loyalty of tribal leaders by bribing them with precious stones. But their caravans were being raided in a forest north of Rangoon by a bandit. So we went looking for the stones, but in 6 months, we never found anyone who traded with him. One day, I saw a child playing with a ruby the size of a tangerine. The bandit had been throwing them away. Then why steal them? Because he thought it was a good spot, because some men aren't looking for anything logical, like money. They can't be bought, bullied, reasoned, or negotiated with. Some men just want to watch the world burn. So, it's picking up from the one day. I like that the most. Oh, I get even comical with it. Yeah, a little out there with this guy. Here's the the overdone version. One day, I saw a child playing with a ruby the size of a tangerine. The bandit had been throwing them away. Then why steal them?
because he thought it was a good spot because some men aren't looking for anything logical, like money. They can't be bought, bullied, reasoned, or negotiated with. Some men just want to watch the world burn.
Anyway, I decided to put together my own band called Michael and the Canes. And we decided to do a version of that as a song. And this is totally just thrown together just for your amusement. And here we go, boys and girls. Look at this. Exclusive. Danger exclusive. Michael and the Canes with One Day.
Hello, we're Michael and the Canes. Thank you. One day, I saw a child playing with a ruby the size of a tangerine. Bandit had been throwing them away. So why steal them? Because he thought it was good sport. Because some men aren't looking for anything logical like money. They can't be bought, bullied, reasoned or negotiated with. Because some men just want to watch the world burn. Some men just want to watch the motherfucking world burn. Some men just want to watch the world burn. They want to watch that motherfucking world burn. Because some men want to watch the motherfucking world burn! One day, I saw a child playing with a ruby the size of a tangerine. The bandit had been throwing them away. Why steal them? Because he thought it was good sport. Because some men are looking for anything logical like money. They can't be bought, bullied, reasoned, negotiated with. Some men want to watch the world burn. Because some men want to watch the motherfucking world burn. Because some men want to watch the motherfucking world burn. Because some men want to watch the motherfucking world burn. Because some men want to watch the fucking world burn. Because some men want to watch the motherfucking world burn. Because some men want to watch the motherfucking world burn. Because some men want to watch the motherfucking world burn. Long time ago, I was in Burma, my friends and I, working for the local government. They were trying to buy loyalty of tribal leaders by bribing them with precious stones. But the caravans were being raided in a forest north of Rangoon by a bandit. So he went looking for the stones. But in 6 months, we never found anyone who traded with him. One day, I saw a child playing with a ruby the size of a tangerine. The bandit had been throwing him away. Then why steal them? Because he thought it was a good spot. Because some men aren't looking for anything logical like money. They can't be bought, bullied, reasoned, or negotiated with. Some men just want to watch the world burn. Thank you.
Hey, look at that, an hour. I did it. All right, Danger Heads, that's it for me. Thank you for listening. Thank you for enduring that nonsense. I had a good time. Hey, as long as I had fun, right? But again, thanks for listening. This is a bunch of silly bullshit, but I have fun, and hopefully I get to entertain you, some of you fuck faces. And as always, at the end of every show, I tells ya,
stay dangerous, my friends. Thank you.